Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Big news! The CCW Europe Summit 2025 is just around the corner. October's must-attend CX event. The CX Goalkeeper podcast is exploring key themes from the summit to help you be fully prepared. Join Europe's top CX leader to benchmark, network and co-create in an environment built for innovation. Spots are limited. Register now using the code CXGoalkeeper20. I repeat, CXGoalkeeper20 to save 20% on your ticket. Click the link in the show notes and secure your spot today. Let's shape the future of customer experience together. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today I am with Eric Smuda. Hi Eric, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for the invitation to be here today.
Thank you very much, Eric. Today it will be an interesting discussion. The title of this episode is Governance for CX Success, Uniting Teams and Tech for Seamless Collaboration. I'm really keen to discuss this topic because we will touch some really relevant topics. And I think the topic around governance is not something that is often spoken about, and therefore really keen to kick off this discussion. However, as usual, we would like to learn something about you, Eric, before we start and we start this game. Eric, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure, yeah. You know, as you introduced me, Eric Smuda, what makes me tick in the CX world is just this core belief that taking care of customers is the most successful way to grow a company. And I've just always believed that. I grew up, my dad was in market research. I used to watch him, you know, learning about customers and trying to consult with companies on what they should do. So it's just been instilled in me since an early age. You know, obviously, because of that background, I started in the VOC world. I got frustrated with the notion of, hey, I'm telling you to do things, but you're not actually doing things. And I said, you know what? Time to roll up the sleeves and go get them done myself. And, you know, kind of transitioned more into the action side of CX and CX management and CX leadership. And, you know, you've seen my profile. I've worked or consulted with, you know, some of the biggest brands in the world, whether that's Compaq and HP or Avis Budget or Hertz, you know, from a work standpoint. Now I'm currently the chief experience officer at a company called Likewise that is a global device insurance and device repair company. And that's a little bit about me.
Thank you very much, Eric. And you said you're keen to care for people, you are keen to care for your customers in order to have long-lasting success. And therefore, I need to ask also these questions. Which values drive your professional career?
Yeah, well, I think you hit on one there, right? Human relationships. And I know we're going to talk about that today, but how do you treat people? How do you understand their needs and their desires and their goals? And how do you fulfill those? And I just think that's core to CX, obviously, and CX success. You know, for me, it's about empowerment. It's about servant leadership. You know, I've always just been a big believer there. And I think any CX leader has to be. You have to subordinate your ego to really help the organization be successful. And the other two for me, just because of the way I'm wired, professionalism and integrity. I don't have patience or tolerance for the game playing. Be a professional, do what you say you're going to do, make the words and the actions match. You know, those are the four or five key things for me.
Thank you very much. And you said make the actions, and therefore let's kick off this game. Let's start the game. Let's start the action. Speaking about governance for CX success, uniting teams and tech for seamless collaboration. What role does governance play in fostering cross-functional cooperation?
For me, it's critical. Right. I don't know how you can be successful without some form of governance. Right. I mean, businesses globally are organized in silos. You have your sales function, your marketing function, your HR, your operations, and on and on and on. CX is the one function that has to operate horizontally. Right. How do you tie those silos together? How do you make sure that there's no things don't fall in the crack as it gets passed from one silo to the other? How do you make sure there's smooth handoffs? How do you make sure people have full information about what the customer wants and needs? And to me, governance is the way to do that, right? A whatever you call the person, head of CX, VP of CX, chief customer officer, chief experience, it doesn't matter. They don't own everything. They shouldn't own everything, honestly, right? They're the voice that represents the customer. And so it's governance is about how do you get the silos to work together to meet or exceed the customer needs and desires. So for me, I just don't think you can be that successful, or I think you limit your success without some form of governance.
Thank you. Perhaps could you please deep dive a bit more? What do you exactly understand under governance?
So for me, governance is really about how do we get organized around the customer? How do we get organized? How do we share information? How do we make sure everybody is operating on the same information, right? Everybody has the same facts, not you get to bring your own facts. How do we build in shared accountability so that, hey, operations trusts that marketing is going to do this and marketing trusts that operations can deliver on what sales sold. And it's also cross-functional visibility. And so for me, you know, look, there's many different ways you can design governance. For me, where I've been successful is whether it's every 2 weeks, whether it's once a month, getting all of those functional leaders together in a room, getting all of the functional leaders that own a key customer touch point. So your head of digital, your head of call center, your regional heads of operations, whatever it may be, and all of the support functions too, and say, let's get together once a month. Let's understand, you know, what does the customer want? Let's agree on a fact set or a data set that says, we're aligned on this is what the customer needs and wants. Let's charter projects together and say, hey, if we believe these are the three things we have to go fix, we've got everybody around the table to stack hands and say, yes, those are the three. We're going to charter those. We're going to make sure that they have the right sponsorship, the right resources, the right budget allocation to get these things done. And you're going to come back once a month and report on the progress you're making, and we're going to hold each other accountable for that progress being made. So to me, that's really what governance at a high level looks like, right? There's different ways you can organize around it, but for me, that's what's been successful in my career.
I really like your answer. I want to be really honest because some people start speaking about let's design an operating model. I share this information with you. You share that information with you with him, or escalation spot and so on. And you reduced everything. You summarize everything to trust, accountability, and really getting together and getting things done. And I really like that.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
You share one example of getting all these people together in one room and discuss regularly. How can leaders create governance frameworks that aligns teams and effectively break down these silos?
Well, I think I gave you one good example, right? When we're focused, when we have all of the silo heads and all of the customer touchpoint heads in the same meeting, and really what we're talking about is the customer and what role do you play in that? You know, there's one way. It's funny. You had said, hey, I like the way you describe governance. To me, I'm not big in operating models and frameworks because I think your comment kind of alluded to what happens. They become consultant speak. They become shelfware. Everybody says, oh, that looks nice on a PowerPoint slide. But how do we actually get that done? You know what? Back to my core value of human relationships. We get that done by sitting around the table together, looking each other in the eyes, having a conversation, shaking hands, and agreeing on this. So, that for me is what it is, and it goes back to kind of some of those things you just highlighted, right? Trust, visibility, shared accountability. But ultimately, what it comes back to is a shared focus on customer needs and their feedback. That's ultimately what's going to drive growth in your organization.
And if all the people, all the leaders in this company have your values and share your values, then it's quite easy to do that. But we know that some leaders are reluctant to support. They say, why should I care about or this is my piece, this is my garden, why are you looking into my garden, do your stuff first, and so on. Perhaps do you have any idea, specific example how to address this resistance?
Yeah, no, look, I've run across that everywhere I've worked. And I think there's two or three key tips I could give your listeners on how to deal with that. One is that whole concept of the meeting before the meeting and making sure that, right, you go and sit down with all of those leaders, whether they're protagonists or antagonists, but sit down with them, understand their needs, understand their goals, specifically for the ones that you say, you know, maybe aren't on board in the short term. Understand their business plan, understand their goals for the year. What are you being held accountable for? And showing them how this shared accountability, how this governance is going to both help them achieve their goals, but also do it more effectively and efficiently for them. So, you know, back rewind to my introduction, kind of that notion of servant leadership or swallowing your ego. This isn't about you and this isn't about your success. This is, how am I going to help you as a business leader be successful? And then I think the last thing, especially as you get into bigger organizations, is find your advocates, find your champions, have smaller successes with them first. Let them sell their peers. Hey, I did this in my business and here's the growth rate we've seen, or here's the reduction in complaints we've seen, or whatever the positive business metric is, and have them sell it to their peers. Right? Everybody wants to be successful. If they hear it from their peer rather than me sitting, you know, up top in some corporate function preaching at them, it has a much different impact.
That's always the key, making others the heroes, and then they will share the story again and again and again. Now we're speaking about human beings, but we know that in future, perhaps we are going also to collaborate with other technological solutions like generative AI. We are now reading a lot about 2025 trends, speaking about agentic AI, meaning that there will be digital assistants working together with us, sharing information, creating their own data. As organizations increasingly collaborate with these digital employees, how can we optimize this collaboration?
Yeah, I think there's several things there, right? One is, and it really starts with taking a product management or a service management approach to this rather than a technology focus. This isn't about building a chatbot. This isn't about building a digital agent, right? This is about, what do our customers need and want? How do they want it delivered? What are their preferences? And finding that balance between, you know, digital or agent-led service versus human-led service. And here's the thing. Right? Our customers actually want it. If you go back and you look at the 2023 Gartner State of the Customer Survey, it's really interesting. 50% of the Gen X, the millennial, and the Gen Z customers say, I'm either going to solve the problem myself, I'm going to find the answer quickly, or I'm going to give up. So more than 50% of those three generations say, I will give up trying to solve a problem if I can't solve it myself, or if I have to wait on hold for somebody too long. They want help. They want digital assistance, right? What's even more striking in that study is the millennials and the Gen Z customers, so the generations that are about to, you know, run the world and take over businesses and take over government, those generations will tell you, and if I give up on solving that problem, I'm going to use your product or service less, or I'm going to stop doing business with you, period. So your customers want this, right? Your challenge is, how do you find the right balance? How do you figure out the right use cases to say, here's where digital is going to lead, here's where human's going to lead? Yeah. So define clear roles and responsibilities. Here's where the digital agent will take the lead, here's where the human will take the lead. You know, determining those best use cases. And then really it's about, okay, Where are those tolerance points? Sorry. Can I detect that a human who needs help is getting frustrated and I need to switch from digital to human? I think those are the keys, but it starts with recognizing your customers want this. So how do we best deliver this?
It totally makes sense. And we see everywhere this increase of this solution. And now we see also that this, from a technological point of view, this solution are also delivering a good, compelling experience to customers. Yeah. How can leader balance the technology and human capital to deliver a seamless and exceptional customer experience to foster collaboration?
Yeah, well, it starts with something I mentioned a minute ago, right? You have to define clear roles and responsibilities. The humans have to know what role is the digital agent playing and why. You have to get them to understand this is not about replacing human jobs. This is about changing your job, taking advantage of things that humans do well that digital agents can't, right? I mean, I'll give you a good example. I ran across this statistic middle of last year. McDonald's, you know, I don't know in Europe, but certainly here in the US, started replacing the ordering process with kiosks in their lobbies. And everybody assumed, oh, they're just getting rid of their frontline workers. No, they took those workers. If you look at their reports, they didn't cut people. They took those people out from behind the counter. They put them on the floor, cleaning tables, interacting with customers, getting refills. They changed their role, and they changed it for the better from a customer experience and an employee experience standpoint. So, you know, getting humans to understand, hey, this is not about replacing you. I mentioned a minute ago, right? Determining where that frustration tolerance is. So where do I need to switch from one channel to the other, or one service delivery model, digital to human? And then when you get to those points, and I think here's where it's key, how do I transfer that knowledge? Right, we've all had consumer experiences where you're sitting in one channel and you just told your life story and all of your passwords and all of your information, and then you get transferred and you have to start it all over again. I don't like the term omnichannel. I just never have, but effectively that's what it is, right? You have to be able to take that knowledge of what's the experience in real time and pass that from the digital agent or the digital channel to the human channel so that it's seamless from a consumer standpoint.
That's a really interesting, and I like also this example of McDonald's, because then you uplifted the role of the employees, because they are outside, they can interact, they can build a relationship with the customer there, and they can also continue working and delivering what they need to deliver. It's really, really interesting. I would have tons of additional questions, but taking care of the time of this episode and also your time, I think we are coming to an end of this game. But in the extra time, I still have three questions for you. The first one, fast forward, in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
So it's interesting. I think at a macro level, I'm not sure the topics change, right? If you look at the big topics in CX right now, one is around ROI. Well, look, as I said earlier, right? You're doing this to drive growth. And you know, how do I grow my customer base? How do I retain more customers? How do I sell more or drive lifetime value increases with the customers I have? Or how do I drive cost out of the system and serve people more efficiently? That conversation's not going to change. That conversation's been going on since commerce started back, you know, hundreds of years ago. So I think that conversation doesn't change. I think the conversation around technology versus humans doesn't necessarily change either. Now, yes, 10 years from now, bots will be doing things that we can't even imagine today. Robots will be, you know, playing a role that humans may play today. And so the technology is going to change, but I don't know that the conversation changes of how do you blend technology and humans to deliver a great customer experience. So, you know, so that's why I say, I think at a macro level, 10 years from now, you're having slightly different conversations, but I think the macro themes will be the same, because ultimately CX is about how do I deliver a better experience, because that's going to drive growth for my company.
Thank you, Eric. And what's the best way to contact you?
Best way, LinkedIn probably is the easiest. I'm out there, Eric Smuda, S-M-U-D-A. And, you know, would love to engage with as many of your listeners as are interested in engaging with me. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. And now we are coming to the last question. Is Eric's golden nugget? It's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with?
Yeah, you know, this won't surprise you. This won't surprise your audience, given the conversation we've had, right? If you're not doing CX to drive growth, what are you doing? Why are you doing it, right? The CX has to be the growth engine of your company, period, end of statement.
Thank you very much. And I think that's the best possible conclusion also for this episode. Eric, please stay with me. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And to the audience, for today, it's everything. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. It was a great discussion with Eric Smuda. Please follow him on LinkedIn and read what he's sharing. It's really interesting. Thank you very much and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.